So joining me now on the line, I'm very pleased to be with Caitlin Lang and Tom Chapman, who are the band Oystercatcher. Welcome both.
Hiya.
Hey, it's James. Hello.
Great to have you on. And they're both hiding out somewhere in, I'm going to say sunny Manchester, to keep up the mood. And let's start exploring what or who you are, I suppose, in terms of Oystercatcher. I describe you as a band, but I think you describe yourselves as, and this is a bit edgy, I think, as an art rock duo stroke collective. So from that, I deduce that you do music, but maybe it's not always the two of you. So Tom, help me out with this to start with.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So we try to keep things fresh on gigs as much as possible. We're both arrangers, so we love arranging for different ensembles, different musicians, and it means we get to work with all of our friends and get to meet new people. So yeah, every time we do a gig, we try to mix it up.
And Caitlin, you and Tom, I think, met at college, but not just any college. It's important to reference that, I think. Is that right?
We both studied at the Royal Northern College of Music. Yeah, and Tom, I started off doing saxophone, and me and Tom did quite a lot of just like jazz jams and things together. And then eventually when I was like, oh, actually, I much prefer singing, we then create this little duo.
Was there a point that when you met, that you sort of, you know, through jamming and working together and, you know, doing various bits of music, was there a point where you thought there's a fit here, it gels? Can you remember that point?
I mean, to be honest, I remember very vividly like the first time I played with Tom, and I remember him lugging his amp up into a room which was the most awkward room for you but perfect for everyone else. And I was like, oh, who's this guy? And then I played with him and I was like, oh, he's sick, this is great. And we kept playing together. And I think the fact that we like did a lot of improvising together as well really sort of helped kind of solidify this like little musical connection, I guess.
I was going to say that as well. Yeah, the fact that we both did a lot of improvising together, it really means that you get to know each other in a much more personal way musically. And I think that meant a lot of silliness as well, a lot of very silly improvising.
Yeah.
That's always good, isn't it? You need that.
Definitely.
And you alluded there to, I think, the what people don't always see these days, which is the kind of the unromantic element of self-propelled show business. That's what I'm going to call it, which is basically lugging amps around and kind of doing your own, you know, there's no entourage anymore, is there?
No, it's just just pure constant effort and
it's all hard work. It all pays off in the end. So let's talk a little bit about your sound, because when I was listening to the EP, which we're going to talk about shortly, you've got an amazing sound. I think you've got a sound that mixes in a number of different styles and different genres, which is quite difficult, I think, these days to pull off, but you do manage it. So I should say that first. And I think you describe your mix as sort of rock, folk, classical, but it's a lot more than that. So Tom, let's try, and we're going to play some of the EP shortly, but let's try and define your sound. I would describe it as it's very ethereal. That's the word I would use.
It's a really good question, James. It's one that we've struggled with quite a lot, because we don't kind of want to box ourselves in or limit ourselves to a certain thing. But then at the same time, it's really handy for other people to know what we're about. Ethereal is a word that's been used a lot, for sure. But I think we just both have such diverse things that we listen to that it all kind of finds its way in. And so yeah, everything from like Muse to Moses Sumney, James Blake, those are some of the sort of main people that we cite. But then there's also Bach and Miles Davis and Fela Kuti and influences from all over the shop, really.
And Caitlin, I should reference at this point your voice, because you have an amazing vocal in Oystercatcher. And I think one thing your voice does, it kind of defines a kind of environment. And again, it's difficult to describe, but when I was listening to it, it kind of helped me think about where I was and kind of reflect upon things around me, which again is quite a feat, I think.
Oh, that's, I've never heard that before, but I like that as a concept. That's cool.
You obviously both play a number of instruments, and you've studied at college, and I guess you find through that education, you find things that you like, or that you perhaps have, you know, I guess stronger competences in, if you want to put it that way, in terms of, you know, strings and you know, saxophones and things like that you mentioned. But when you're writing as a duo, or and with people around you, do you have do instruments, are they the first point where you start from, or do you start with a lyric or a mood, or how does that, I'm always interested how bands actually start with, you know, with a blank page. How do you bring these songs to life?
Generally, it starts very stripped down. Like, usually when we're writing together, it's just me and Tom, and we're just sat, he's got his bass, I'm sat just sort of singing. Maybe occasionally we'll have a little bit of a play around on the piano, but it generally, the songs start from a very small place, and then we can sort of build it from that depending on the direction that the tune goes in.
And Tom, some of the things on your website talk about, I guess, kind of focus of some of the tracks around sort of life and loss and inevitably love. You know, no one's ever written a song about love, have they, before? You know, it's there's an inevitability about that, I guess. Do you think when you're writing, is it consciously storytelling? You know, is there a narrative that you bring to your work?
And definitely, yeah. I mean, we spend, I'd say, probably more time on lyrics than writing the music. But often Caitlin just has a notebook, or if needs be, I've just got my phone and we'll just talk about things in life.
For example, one of the tunes, Come Home, we wrote about, it was like a week after my mum's funeral. And I basically, we walked up to the top of this big hill, and I sat there and like just poured my heart out to Tom, and he like made notes of them, like everything I was saying, on his phone. And then we went and sat in a cafe and basically just worked that into lyrics, and then wrote the song around those lyrics. Tom's basically just my musical counselor, and I don't pay him. So. Terrified of memories crumbling.
dreams of you, desperate to keep these memories intact, desperate to keep the image exact, desperate to keep out the noise from the crowd. Why did you have to go? Won't you please?
So let's talk about Come Home, because that's one of the tracks on the new EP, which I think came out towards the end of September. And there's a new track out sort of mid-October, which is It Never Rains. So tell me about, you sort of talked about Come Home there. Tell me about It Never Rains. Is that a slightly ironic title? I'm picking up a hint of irony on that.
Yeah, definitely. That was written around a similar time, and it's just about dealing with grief, but also the fact that, like, when bad things come, it's never just, like, one bad thing. It's always everything at once. And, it's something my mum always used to say whenever there was just a bit of a difficult time where lots of bad things were happening. She'd always say, oh, it never rains, but it pours. I don't know, it's kind of just being angry with the world, I guess.
There's a track called Glue, which I think is in some ways quite a personal track, isn't it?
That was the first tune we wrote together, and it was basically just about sort of when you, a relationship comes to an end, and it sort of comes to an end because of bad things that are happening to you, and then they can't then deal with that. And it's kind of like asking, like, you know, why aren't you here when I need you the most?
Now, Tom, when the world was wild and free and we weren't all locked in our lounges and bedrooms or wherever we are listening at the moment, you did some touring, I think, didn't you? You did some performances in South Africa as well as UK.
Yeah, we got a chance to go and do 3 weeks out there and travel around, sort of starting near Johannesburg and in that sort of area, and then down to Cape Town. And it was incredibly fun.
And we saw a load of giraffes.
And penguins.
And elephants.
Wow.
And penguins.
Yeah.
What kind penguins. Of a venue was it that allowed those in? I don't know, you know.
The best kind, James.
Now, obviously, South Africa, and indeed Southport, is a bit out of reach at the moment. For most bands. So are you two doing things virtually? Are you doing performances online? Are you doing kind of creative things on the internet as much as you can?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you mentioned Glue before, and one of the things that I'm really excited about at the minute is we've put together a version of that tune as a sort of lockdown version with about 40 of our friends who were singing in a choir sort of situation, but all recorded from home. And so we've got a video of that coming out in a few weeks.
Wow.
So there's been some fun things that we've been able to put together. And we did an online gig in aid of a charity called Mind the other day, where we did an arrangement of a tune called Dear Katie, which is on the EP as well, with Cobalt Brass. And so that was a lot of fun as well. I feel like we've done another online gig, Galen.
The South Africa one as well. The Bluebird sessions. Some guys over in South Africa were doing some live gigs as well. So they asked us to take part of that. And it was like nice. It was like kind of almost going back to South Africa for 20 minutes. We can pretend at least.
Caitlin, we were talking about the kind of writing process earlier, or kind of how you sort of come to songs. Do you think, has lockdown affected that? Has it sort of, you know, has it honed some particular skills in terms of, you know, everyone's got a lot of time to sit and think at the moment. Has it strengthened perhaps some of your kind of songwriting?
I think one of the big things that I've sort of really felt is I've kind of been on such a roller coaster throughout the whole of lockdown. I think because when you're having to present everything on social media, you become like acutely self-aware in a way that you're not when you're like playing live to an audience. And I noticed a pattern where I started I'm already a bit of a perfectionist at the best of times, but I was just getting so like obsessed with like, oh, it's not quite right, it's not perfect. And the more that was happening, the more I was sort of questioning myself. And so I've sort of been making an effort to just try and give myself the freedom to just like, even if I'm just like sat at a piano having a mess around with things, just like really letting myself just do what feels right rather than trying to think what how it would be perceived, if that makes sense. I think that's sort of been ramped up to the max at the moment, and I'm not a big fan of it. I think it's just kind of stops you from being your sort of musically honest self.
Yeah, Tom, I guess it comes with constraints as well as opportunities. And I was wondering, a question for both of you really, in terms of how you think it might kind of change the industry in terms of music. You know, lots of people have been producing things at home and, you know, pulling together things in their studio. Studios are sort of easier, I think, these days to pull together, lots of cables and buttons and things, but you can get there. I wonder if it, the key question, I guess, is I wonder, will it change people's attitude and perception of how they perhaps should pay for things? You know, people are always reluctant to kind of buy online things if they can get it free or hear it on, you know, YouTube or something. Do you think it will alter the industry sort of longer term?
I guess live stream gigs are much more likely to become more of a thing now that they've been so experimented with and have proven to be effective. In some ways it's good, but personally I think there's nothing like actually going to see a gig live and certainly playing a gig live. So I really hope that doesn't become the new norm.
Because everyone's kind of got so used to like live stream gigs, I always feel like whenever I watch one, it's like it's like a sort of, it's a bit of a tease of like the real thing, and it's never quite the same. And I am so desperate to just go back to going to normal gigs again, because it's just like, live stream gigs are fine, but I just want to go and be in a really sweaty room and watch some awesome bands play and like just be out and sort of connecting with other people as well. I feel like that's such a big part of it, is being in a room with a load of people, you know, whether you're all just stood listening silently to something really delicate or singing along with something. And it's such a like really sort of connecting experience at its core. And I think like actually doing that over video really kind of loses quite a lot of the effect of that part of it.
I think there is something to be said, isn't there, about the lessons that you learn in the queue for the coats or for a pint. You know, it's important life lessons. Just finally, let's tell folks where they can find the EP and more of your music and more about the both of you. Tom, where should people be going online to find out more about Oystercatcher?
Pretty much everywhere you want. So we're on all of the social medias that you'd expect, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Spotify obviously is our favourite place for you to go, because then you can listen to our music and give us a follow and do all that stuff. We're on Apple Music as well.
Excellent. Well, we shall watch your progress with interest. But for now, Tom, Caitlin, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us. Cheers, James.